Victoria's state education regulator has launched an investigation into the Catholic school in Melbourne, St Kevin's College. This follows Four Corners revealing that the college's headmaster provided a character reference to a now-convicted child sex offender who's groomed a student at St Kevin's. The investigation will look at whether the school breached child safety standards. The school's headmaster says he regrets providing that character reference now, but the Premier, Daniel Andrews, says the school still has questions to answer.
I don't think anyone would want any child, let alone their own child, to be treated that way. To have serious allegations made, to have then a court process, and then to have this sense that there's no urgency, there's no consequences.
That's the Victorian Premier, Daniel Andrews, yesterday. Well, Judy Courtin is the lawyer for the student, and she joins us now. Judy Courtin, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
You represent the young student at the centre of this case. His name is Paris Street. Can you explain for those listeners who haven't seen Four Corners on Monday night, what's at the core of this? What happened at St Kevin's?
Okay. Excuse me. So what happened was my client, Paris, was basically groomed by his running coach when he was in about year nine. He was 14 going on 15. He told his mother and they went to the police. The now offender was obviously investigated and charged and then convicted of the crime or the charge of grooming, which is a new offence in Victoria that came out of our Victorian parliamentary inquiry.
That's the offence
back
of
in
grooming.
2012. The offence of grooming, yep. Absolutely. So our client was, this was a hearing in the magistrate's court, and our client was cross-examined. He was in the stand for two full days, mm-hmm. and he was cross-examined by Robert Richter, the same well-known lawyer that defended George Pell. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the conviction was made. What happened then, of course, was when the sentencing was happening, the principal from St Kevin's provided a reference to the judge for the sentencing process. Importantly, though, during the trial, call it a trial, there was no jury, but during the court process, the Dean of Sport from St Kevin's, who we know now is a long-term friend of the offender, actually gave evidence and character evidence in the criminal process in favour of the offender. After it was all over, our client Paris, who was then pretty unwell, was forced, in a sense, to have a meeting with the Dean of Sport. And the Dean of Sport told our client that he didn't think the offender should have been convicted. He felt it was, minor. He was his friend and he didn't agree with it. And he told Paris, our client, that he was still friends with the offender and would continue to be so.
And this meeting happened at school?
That happened at school, correct. Mm. And it was witnessed by, well, it was, Paris was supported by the psychologist at the time, and there were notes about this. When we first met Paris, when I first met him a couple of years ago now, we started acting for him. And, of course, one of the first things a lawyer will do is try and gather as many documents as possible to support our case. And we wrote to the psychologist at St Kevin's and we wrote to the principal requesting copies of our client's medical records, psychological records. St Kevin's has its own on-campus psychologist. Mm-hmm. Not only did it take months and months and months through their lawyers to receive any of these documents, they were highly redacted. It then took us many, many more months, probably six or more, to receive unredacted versions of his own psychological notes. The resistance and the legalistic approach from the school towards our client was quite extraordinary, and the whole process from day one, it really amounted to the institution fully intending, I say, to crush our client, and they've continued to try and crush our client.
And this is very much the story that came to light on Four Corners. Why do you think it took that scandal to be revealed by Four Corners for authorities to pay attention? We've now got the Victorian Schools Regulator in. Should it have taken that? I mean, we heard the Premier, he's in full outrage. He says, you know, this is outrageous. There was no urgency, no consequences. And the lack of urgency is what you've just described.
It's taken a young, vulnerable young man now, boy at the time, who was in hospital for psychiatric treatment. He was in a very, very bad way. It's taken that young man and some of his friends to have the courage to come out and try and expose the truth that has forced the school and the principal to finally apologise and do something. And that is just appalling, because this crime happened, these episodes happened right at the height of our Royal Commission.
So what year are we talking? 2015, are we?
2015, 14, yep. 15. And then, of course, the subsequent treatment of Paris by the school was 16, 17. So, you know, one of the things I said on Four Corners is, what planet are we on? You know, what is going on? My concern too, Fran, is that even though we're going to have the VRQA, that's the Victorian Registration Qualifications Authority, do an investigation, they'll probably find that the policies and guidelines at St. Kevin's are perfect. You know, they will look fantastic. But, you know, that's not really the point anymore. Here we have what I'd say, you know, the old boys sticking by each other. We have the Dean of Sport and the coach, who is now, as we know, a convicted offender, lifelong friends, supporting each other. I mean, have all the policies you like. It doesn't seem to stop this sort of terrible culture that is so psychiatrically harmful for the children.
I'll come back to the culture in a moment. I suppose, you know, the Dean of Sport can be people can be friends with people who turn out to be offenders, you know, and predators, child sex predators. But it's really what happens after that. So that the story of the Dean of Sport saying that he didn't think his friend should have been convicted. Did the psychologist take action within the school over that? And this apology from the headmaster, is that the first apology Paris has had from the headmaster?
No, my understanding is that there has been one other apology, but, you know, it's not really taken seriously. There's no real action taken until these young people, these brave, courageous people, will speak out. Mm. And that is what, I mean, it's fantastic that young people in the past didn't have the wherewithal and didn't have the environment or the community support, I don't think, to speak out. Now they do. And that is a fantastic shift in the power base, so it shouldn't take an already psychiatrically harmed child or young man to have to do this. This is the extraordinary thing,
In terms of who should be doing this, I mean, this is not news. It all came out in the Royal Commission, as you said, and the final report of the Commission said, and I quote, ineffective leadership, flawed governance and unhealthy school cultures, particularly in some non-government schools, can have a strong influence on the way child sex abuse is prevented. Do you think there needs, given this case and what's transpired here, that psychologists knew about it, people knew about it, there's a need for better policing of child safety standards in schools? The policies might be in place, but the culture mitigates against it.
Indeed, the policies are in place. What prevents those policies being implemented? Absolutely. There was somebody commented yesterday, I think a lot of the people who are a lot of the parents from St. Kevin's who are calling up other mothers, and the call was, well, where are all the fathers speaking out about this? Where are the women in senior positions in these all-boys schools? Now, whether that makes a difference to the culture down the track, one has to find out. But, you know, the other troubling thing is that private schools like St. Kevin's receive quite exorbitant government funding. And, you know, my concern is with a lot of these, and I have other kids from other private boys' schools too as clients, there is a sense of entitlement, a sense of we're the ones who are going to control, and they're not just the students, I'm talking about the staff and the culture, the boys' culture as well, the old boys' culture, is that we are the ones who are going to control, we're the ones who are going to run this country, we're beyond reproach, beyond the law. And we, you know, need to come down much harder in terms of the policing and our legislation.
And do you think that you mentioned that they receive a lot of government funding? You suggested that funding should be threatened if school cultures don't change. I mean, we were speaking to the minister, Social Services Minister Anne Rustin, on the program this week about the redress scheme and some of the recommendations which the government's going to sign up to for those who don't join the redress scheme, that they be stripped of some of their, you know, tax incentives.
Need to be.
Do you think that should be, there should be an actual link between a culture that allows an organisation, institution that allows offending and doesn't behave in line with their guidelines and their policies and government support?
It seems to be the only thing that works is some sort of punitive approach, and absolutely I agree with that. Now, you mentioned the redress scheme, and I don't know if I have a couple of minutes. I did hear the minister yesterday.
You have 1 minute, Judy.
Just on the redress scheme itself, I did hear the minister say yesterday that the redress scheme basically comes off the back of the Royal Commission recommendations. That is an utter nonsense. The redress scheme as we have it is pretty much everything except what the Royal Commission recommended. It is a scheme based on some sort of policy, basically it should have come out of the 1950s. But just
what's your major
example,
concern there, your hierarchy of abuse, is that what you're talking about?
There are multiple concerns, and we don't have time for it now. But unless a child was penetrated, unless a child suffered what we call extreme circumstances, like in an orphanage and didn't have access to family, there's no way a child could get the maximum of $150,000. So a child can be sexually abused, you know, weekly for 2 or 3 years, as physically assaulted as well, a real mess in life, and the maximum they would be able to get would be $50,000. So there is a lot going on with this scheme that needs it needs a complete overhaul, and it does not really hold institutions accountable at all.
Judy Courtin, perhaps we'll get you on again as part of the discussion on that. Thank you very much for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you, Fran.
Judy Courtin, she's a lawyer who specialises in representing survivors of institutional abuse. Here on Breakfast, we did ask St Kevin's for an interview. We were told the school was not yet ready to respond. And just a reminder that if this story does raise any concerns for you, you can get support. Call Lifeline on 13 11 14.